Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, friends, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
We're back.
So sorry about that break.
Sorry, guys.
You didn't get to listen to our voices last week. Well, you got to hear Candace.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's not great, is it? thanks for letting us have a little respite. What do you say? Respite? Do you even speak like that?
I don't. I would say sabbatical, but it's not long enough for a sabbatical, right?
But we did have a nice little break. Did you have a nice break, Lena?
I mean, I was still way busy with stuff. So even though it was a break from true crime, I didn't get a break from life. So.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be nice to just be like, you know what? I need a week off from like everything.
Yeah, I plan on doing that in August, so we'll see if it actually happens.
Where are you going to go?
Our favorite spot, which is Destin, mm-hmm. Florida. Yeah, I'm just going to lay on the beach mm-hmm. and soak up the sun, listen to the waves.
Ah, that sounds great.
We'll see if it happens. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great little getaway.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us tonight?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get right into it. Today, whatever time of day you're listening. Missy Avila.
Okay.
And so there are a few other podcasts about her, and yeah, I think I counted like 9. So you may have already heard this.
I've never heard of the name, so.
Yeah, so Michelle is her given name, but she goes by Missy Avila. She grew up in Arleta, California, in the San Fernando Valley. Missy lived with her mother, Irene, and her 3 brothers, Ernie, Mark, and Chris. Missy made great lasagna, and she wanted to become a physical therapist, and she was really loyal to her friends. At about 8 years old, a girl named Karen Severson had moved around the corner from Missy, and they became quick friends. Karen was said to be a shy girl, and Missy was outgoing and had a big personality. They were together all the time, riding bikes and having sleepovers, playing Barbies, that kind of thing. Yeah. There were 2 other girls in the mix. I mean, Karen and Missy were best friends, but then there was Eva Triumbolo. I don't know how to say that. And then Laura Doyle. They were the same age, and they lived in the area, and they often hung out as well. They all went into high school and attended San Fernando High School. And, you know, this is the age where the hormones and the jealousy kind of stuff starts.
Seriously.
Especially with girls who are boy crazy. And these girls were boy crazy. they started to kind of grow apart. You know, Missy, she was a petite girl at 4'10", and she was really becoming a beautiful young woman. She wasn't all about her looks, or conceited for that matter. You know, we can all be a little critical of ourselves, but there's always just something that we do like about ourselves. For Missy, one of those things was her hair.
Aww.
She had great hair, pretty hair. All her pictures that I saw, her hair was just done nice. And she always had it fixed pretty. And actually, her little brother, Chris, would sit and brush her hair at night.
Oh my gosh.
How sweet is that?
Tell me now. That is precious.
So in Missy's sophomore year, I believe, a rumor had started that she had been sleeping around with several of the girls' boyfriends. Yeah. Another rumor that I heard was that someone had told the other girls at the high school that Missy was the one spreading rumors that their boyfriends were cheating on them. So
scandals.
Regardless, yeah, there were rumors flying, and the girls stopped talking to Missy. I mean, she was popular. Everybody loved her. And yeah, all of a sudden they stopped talking to her.
She had a scarlet letter on her now.
Exactly. Missy was confused. She didn't understand why they stopped talking to her. And a group of girls from the high school had met up with Missy and ganged up on her and beat her up, like chipped her teeth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she came home with bruises all over her body. And
that is so messed up. People are nasty.
So she was able to make it home. I know. Girls are mean.
Girls are mean.
Her family did immediately press charges, though.
Good.
And the summer came while all of the legal stuff was going on, but Missy was just trying to get back to normal. Karen, actually, she was 14 at the time, ended up getting pregnant and leaving the high school. She went to one of those alternative schools eventually, but since she wasn't going to high school with Missy anymore, it kind of put a strain on their friendship just because, you know, they're not together all the time. And apparently Karen was like a bodyguard for Missy because Karen was overweight and just supposedly a big bully.
Yikes. Was she a Karen?
Karen was a Karen. I knew you were going to say that at some point in this.
Did she say, these French fries are cold?
She probably did,
that's,
you know.
So funny.
So after the incident where she got beat up, a student approached Missy and told her that Karen is actually the one spreading the rumors about Missy.
Betrayal.
Yeah. So Karen, she was very possessive over Missy, and any girl that tried to get close to Missy and be her friend would be dealt with.
Yikes.
Like, Karen would put a wedge between it and, you know, not let it happen. She was not going to let anyone take her friend away. So Missy was so mad at this girl for telling her that that it was Karen's fault. Like, she knew that Karen would never do anything like
that. Yeah, you would think.
So, yeah. However, Karen started her own bullying with Missy.
Oh?
She seemed to become jealous of Missy because Missy was more popular and attractive. As popular and well-liked as Missy was, there are reports that she was mean and kind of a bully, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that that's because she had the influence of Karen,
yeah.
You know? You tend to act like the people you hang around with.
Absolutely.
So during Missy's junior year, she started dating a boy named Randy. She only dated him for about a month, but then she ended the relationship because Randy was just always partying. She didn't like that. Well, right after their breakup, Karen made a move on Randy, and they, Karen and Randy, Karen. Started dating.
Sloppy seconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Karen and Randy even moved in together.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were they?
I think at this point they were 17.
Wow.
So there was a report that, you know, Karen didn't have a great home life, okay. And that's another reason why she was jealous of Missy, because even though Missy's parents were divorced, she still had a family who cared about her, and Karen didn't seem to have that. I don't know. I didn't read much about Karen because I really didn't want to know.
Yeah.
So Missy had told her mom one day about an incident while she was over at Karen's apartment. Randy was there too, and Karen had left the room, and Randy had pulled Missy onto his lap unexpectedly.
Oh, inappropriate.
Yeah, and so when she attempted to get up, Karen walked in became enraged.
I would be too.
Yeah. She told Missy to leave. Well, Missy tried giving an explanation, but Karen would not hear it.
Yikes.
Missy was disgusted with the situation and was trying to be a good friend to Karen, and she suggested that Karen break up with Randy because he couldn't be trusted.
Yeah.
Well, instead of breaking up with him, she stopped talking to Missy. Mm. Karen had even demanded that Randy throw lit firecrackers at Missy.
What?
To prove his loyalty to Karen.
Oh my gosh, how immature.
Yeah. And he did.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He was like, okay.
Okay.
That'll prove it. Stupid.
Oh, jeez.
Children.
So then Missy briefly dated a boy named Victor Amaya. Their relationship was said to be sexual, but it didn't last very long. I heard it in another report. It was more like friends with benefits, uh-huh, kind of thing. Not long after they broke up, Victor started a relationship with Laura, the other friend.
Oh, my gosh. Can't anybody find their own boyfriend without...
I know.
Missy's sloppy seconds?
I know.
Guess not.
Yeah. I'm not sure why Missy's friends wanted the ex-boyfriends, but...
I guess they were jealous.
I don't know. Yeah. So Victor didn't like that Laura's insecurity, or he didn't like her insecurities and jealousy. She was too clingy, and he broke up with her. Laura was devastated, and she just knew that another girl must be the reason why he broke it off. So she kept trying to win him back. She would call him constantly, and she would drive by his house, and she was just continually rejected. Victor was quoted saying, "I broke off the relationship because Laura was jealous of me talking to other girls, including Missy. Laura refused to accept the breakup and became bitter." Laura's hatred for Missy sparked when she drove by Victor's house one day and saw him and Missy together holding hands.
Uh-oh.
And Victor had kissed Missy on the cheek.
Oh, no.
As they stood at the end of his driveway. Well, he looked up and they see this car coming at them. And they're like, oh, no. Yeah, she was furious. She drove up to them. She rolled down her window. He went to talk to her. I think Missy stayed back. But she wanted them to know that they had been caught. Like, I see what you're doing.
You.
So Victor said in another quote, "We argued with Laura at my house in Arleta. Me, my brother Noah, and Missy had been standing in front of the house when Laura drove up. And Laura wanted to know, why is Missy here? And I ordered Laura to leave. Before she drove away, she said, I'm going to kill that bee."
Oh.
He said, "I didn't take the threat seriously, and I never reported it to the police."
I know where this is going.
Yeah. So it seemed that Missy was drifting away from her friends. Meanwhile, Karen and Laura start hanging out much more. And it's like they were feeding off of each other, off of their jealousy and hatred for Missy. And Missy's brother, Mark, had even told her that she just really needed to find new friends. Yeah. Like, these friends were no good. And Missy was even getting into, like, drinking and smoking with them, and he just saw it going down a bad path. September 21st of 1985, Karen spotted Missy at the local park where a lot of the teenagers would hang out. It's called Stonehurst Park in Arleta. And Karen pulled in, and she got out, and she starts attacking Missy.
Oh, my gosh.
Karen threatened Missy with a broken bottle and pushed and slapped her.
Nasty.
Yeah. Missy's friend Tammy was there and stepped in, and she took up for Missy. Tammy said that if she hadn't done that, Karen would have beat Missy up and probably would have killed her that day. Tammy was actually one of the people that Karen had bullied for, you know, through the years, and she was fed up with it. And that's one reason she stepped in to protect Missy.
Good.
So a few days go by, and Karen and Laura eventually apologize to Missy. They're like, let's just try to fix this.
We looked ourselves in the mirror. It behind we feel silly.
Yeah. And so Missy was so excited that her two best friends were back in her life. And she just maybe they could put all the drama behind them.
Oh.
On October 2nd of 1985, Laura called Missy and asked if she wanted to hang out and go to Stonehurst Park and talk. Well, Missy agreed, and she told her mom of her plans, and she was so happy, saying, I'm going out with Laura, and we're going to Stonehurst Park. I promise I'll be home by 8. And I think it was a Wednesday. I looked it up, but I didn't write it down. I think it was a Wednesday. Anyway, school night. Well, when Laura got to the house, the girls were laughing and talking about boys, and she told her mom bye, and they left. Well, 8 o'clock came, and Missy did not arrive at the curfew time.
Mm.
But her mom was trying to give her a little grace period. She knew she loved to be with her friends, so she wasn't too worried about it. As she waited for Missy to arrive, Laura called Missy's home. And Irene answered, and Laura asked to speak to Missy. Well, Irene was shocked and a little confused because she thought Laura and Missy were together. Well, Laura told Irene that they had gone to Stonehurst Park, where the friends would hang out, and they didn't see any of their friends, so they just started to leave. But as they started to leave, Missy saw three guys that she knew. Laura said the three guys were standing by a blue Camaro in the parking lot. And Laura said she had never seen the guys. She didn't know who they were. And Missy asked Laura to go over and talk to them. Well, Laura drove over there. Missy got out. And then Laura says she went to go park the car. Well, as she pulled into the parking spot, she realized her gas gauge was on empty. So she yelled to Missy, "Hey, I need gas. I'm going to go fill up and I'll be back."
What?
Yeah. So when she came back, Missy and the three guys and the Camaro were gone.
Ugh. You don't leave your friend.
I know.
Just don't leave your friend.
No, don't do it. So Laura knew that Missy was supposed to be home by like 8 o'clock. So she waited till a little after that time to call Missy to make sure that she made it home. It got later, and Missy still had not returned home. Irene called Karen, who said she hadn't talked to Missy. And Laura volunteered to work with Irene to call around and go to their friends' houses looking for Missy, driving around looking for this blue Camaro. No one had seen her. Blue Camaro, nowhere.
And that's pretty distinct, like you would think.
Yeah. Right. And actually, Missy's friend Tammy says that she was supposed to meet up or talk with Missy later that night, but Missy had never called or contacted her. So there was a new guy Bobby, also that Missy was dating at this time, and he had asked Missy to hang out that night, but she declined because she was going to hang out with Laura as she was trying to fix their friendship. So Irene decided to go home and give Missy time to come home. It was midnight, and her brothers came home. They were out doing something, I don't know, but they came home at midnight. They said their mom was asleep on the couch. They just went to bed. Well, when Irene got up in the morning, looked in Missy's room, she still wasn't there.
I hate this.
So, Irene went to the police the next morning when she realized Missy was not home. And it's one of those cases where the police told her, oh, your daughter just probably ran away.
Yeah.
Like, she'll come back kind of thing. Well, 3 days later, on October 5th, Missy's body was found face down in a stream in Big Tujunga Canyon in Angeles National Forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh. Two men were hiking in the area, as they did often. There was a big log in the area that they noticed had been moved from the last time that they were there. And as they walked closer, they're like, hey, let's go check this out. This log is moved. I wonder how it got over there. So they walked closer and they saw Missy's body pinned underneath the log.
Oh, no.
They ran off to alert the police. Yeah, so they found that Missy had drowned in 8 inches of water.
Oh, my God, she was alive. Oh.
Yeah. Her long, beautiful hair was cut off. Chunks of hair were found on top of the rocks on the edge of the stream. Like, the rocks weren't in the water. It was like boulders on the side of the stream. Chunks of her hair had been cut and left on the rocks.
That is low.
Yeah. But they didn't have much to go on. I mean, they questioned Laura since she was the last person to see Missy, and she told them the same of what she told Irene. However, police could not find any information on the blue Camaro. Who did it belong to? Who were the three guys? Well, they didn't immediately find information on. They did find a blue Camaro matching the description with the a couple of the guys in it. So they brought the guys in, they put them in a lineup, and Laura could not identify any of the guys. Another lead was a girl named Sonia. Sonia was one of the girls that Missy was having the legal issues with, and their court date was scheduled for a week after the murder. So it looked like maybe she was trying to shut Missy up.
Wow.
Well, she had an alibi, and she was cleared. About a year after the murder, Irene and Karen went to the police station and told them that Laura had been lying this whole time, and they needed to re-question her. I'm not really sure how this came about, but Karen was drinking and just spiraling. It seemed like she was just spiraling from losing her friend. Police did question Laura again, and she gave a new story.
Oh?
Shocker.
Wow.
She said that she had been lying. She admitted she had been lying. That day, she actually dropped Missy off at a church parking lot.
Oh, okay.
For her to do her a drug deal. No. The opposite.
Okay.
She was buying drugs from somebody.
Oh.
She just lied the first time to protect Missy.
Okay. Because Missy's dead and the truth is not important.
Exactly.
But at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, Missy, she did not have any evidence of drugs in her system.
Right.
So, yeah.
Shocker.
That was not a likely story, Laura. Okay. The investigation went nowhere for about 3 years.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So 3 years go by, and Tammy, says that one day Karen showed up at her house and started talking about Missy's death, like just unloading stuff. And Karen asked her if she knew that Missy's hair had been cut off when they found her. Well, this was not public knowledge.
Oh.
Nobody was told about this. And Tammy thought this was weird. How did Karen know this? Well, not long after that incident, in July of 1988, Missy's friend Eva, who I mentioned at the beginning, she went to the police and told a nightmarish story.
Oh, no.
She could not hold the story in any longer.
Wow.
Eva had rode with Karen to Colby Canyon. She said she was completely unaware of what was about to happen. Karen told her that she and Laura planned to scare Missy. And Eva said, I didn't know what they had planned. I didn't know how far it was going to go. So they met up at Colby Canyon. So Eva was with Karen and then Missy was with Laura. And when they reached the forest, they park in a dirt lot near a wooded area, which is located near the creek in Colby Canyon. And it's actually another spot where the teens would meet up and hang out. It's like 45 minutes from where they lived.
Ugh, Missy, these girls have beaten you up.
I know. Bless her heart. She just loved her friends.
This is too remote. This is no good.
So Karen and Laura, the plan was, and they started acting out their plans. So they start arguing with each other. Karen and Laura's arguing with each other. And Missy's like begging them to stop. Like, what are y'all arguing about? Like, this is, you know, we need to be friends kind of thing. Just stop arguing. Well, the tables turned.
Oh.
And Karen and Laura start ganging up on Missy. And so Missy's still in the passenger seat and they yanked her out of the car and Missy began crying and the girls start pushing and shoving, calling her names, accusing her of sleeping with their boyfriends and
yikes.
So they're like pushing her down this path into the forest, like where you could go on a hiking path. And I think they go about like 100 or 200 yards into it. Eva says she was sitting in Karen's car watching from a short distance. She's just watching it all unfold. And she watches them walk into the forest. She could see the confrontation was getting intense. Laura grabs Missy by the wrist and pulls her, says, let's go for a walk. Missy's crying and she hesitates, but Karen pushed her towards the wooded area. There's a few different versions, or a couple different versions. One is Eva walked with them down into to the creek and then left, went back to the car because she didn't want to have any part in it. But then the other version is that Eva just never got out of the car. So don't know what's true. So Laura yanks Missy's hair and once again accuses her of sleeping with Victor. She steps beside the creek, or Laura goes into the creek and she tells Missy, come in with me. And she's just standing there like, no. Oh, before that is when they grab something sharp, I guess a knife, oh, no. And start cutting her hair off.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh. Yeah. So Missy is frantically begging for forgiveness, like, please stop begging, you know. And so this, one of the versions says when Eva starts running back to the car, she hears Missy scream, and she just went and sat by the cars and just was freaked out.
Well, what did she think was going to happen?
I don't know.
Their history because, is violence. Like, their history is to be violent, especially towards her. So,
exactly. Well, and Missy is a whopping 98 pounds, yeah. And apparently Eva was pretty small and petite as well, so I think she just knew exactly. So yeah, she said she was kind of fearful of her life as well. So they were beating Missy's face. So that's when Laura gets in the creek, tells Missy to come on. Missy's like, no. And then Karen was behind Missy and she pushed Missy towards Laura. And they grabbed her. I think one report said that one of them grabbed her arms, one of them grabbed her legs, and at one point her hands were tied behind her back. She was gagged.
My gosh.
And they were forcefully shoving her head down into the water, and saying, you're going to pay for sleeping for our boyfriends, kind of thing.
Okay. They were her boyfriends first. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Silly girls.
So she struggled. She was fighting for her life. She put up as much of a fight as she could. And when they realized that she was too weak to run, or barely alive for that matter, they looked over at that 100-pound log that was 4 foot long, and they left her weak there in the water, went to get the log, and placed it on top of her head and neck.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yes, that is when she drowned. Karen and Laura walked back to their cars and quickly left. Now one report that I read says Eva went back to the cars. When she went back, the cars were locked, so she didn't have a key to get in. And so she just sat there. And as soon as the girls came back, she hopped in Laura's car and Karen got in her own car and drove off by herself. Eva said she was scared during the car ride back to Arleta, and she asked, what happened? Where's Missy? I'm like, okay, now you're concerned? And Laura says, we killed Missy.
Wow.
And I asked Laura, are you sure she's dead? And Laura says, she is. And then she said, Missy deserved to die because she slept with Victor. Like, they're obsessed with this.
Oh, my gosh.
Irene never suspected Karen or Laura. I mean, she knew they were rough around the edges and not very good friends, but, I mean, surely Missy's best friends would not have done this.
Yeah.
They both even attended Missy's funeral,
so
of course.
That's so gross.
Yeah. Laura had sent Irene a get-well letter with $20 inside.
What?
Like, here's some sympathy.
Put this towards the funeral cost.
Yeah. Karen played the grieving friend and even moved in with Irene.
No. Stop it. Don't tell
acting
me
as like a supportive friend. Girl.
Don't.
She.
Girl, drop me off in the church parking lot, okay? Because I need to pray about this.
Oh my gosh. She did stay in Missy's
Gross.
Room, but she slept in the floor.
What?
She didn't sleep in the bed. I think That's Irene weird. Just, Irene was trying to keep Missy's room preserved as much as she could. But there's a woman named Siobhan that I think she's Missy's sister-in-law. She married one of Missy's brothers. She talked about how Karen slept in the floor and just was acting like a surrogate daughter, like trying to be there for the family.
Ew.
Well, really, she just wanted to get close and see where the investigation was going. And she wanted to throw off leads in different directions.
But she also, like, was jealous of Missy and mm-hmm. that she had a loving family. So she was trying
to
play.
Yeah, they're my family now.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah, and she would wear Missy's makeup.
No, that's so morbid.
I mean, this lady or this girl is narcissist for sure. So, yeah, she gave all different kinds of leads to the investigators. She would tell them it could be Randy. It could be so-and-so. And Karen actually convinced their friends that Randy was the killer and convinced them to beat Randy up.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's...
She's a monster.
This is her next victim. Yeah.
Jeez.
And so Randy actually, they did beat him up at a, they told him to come over for a party. Well, there was no party. It was just the group of I don't know who all was there, but they beat him up and they left him at this house, one of the friends' houses. And they thought he was dead when they left him.
Oh my gosh.
Well, he did, lose consciousness, but when he came to, he was there alone and he was able to get himself up and drive himself to the hospital.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And so when Karen found out that he was still alive, she convinced the guys to try to shoot him.
Oh,
and
my
they actually,
gosh.
They put together a plan. Well, Randy never showed up to the place that he was, that they were supposed to shoot him. So he didn't get shot.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to show up after he just beat the crap out of him.
Well, I think they were, like, laying in wait somewhere
I see. I see.
Yeah, they didn't ask him to come. I think they were just thought they knew where he would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Irene, bless her heart, she was so heartsick and disgusted when she found out that her daughter's killer was right beside her, living in her home this whole time. Karen was obsessed with what she had done. She visited Missy's grave several times a week.
Ew.
And she went back to the creek several times where she did the murder.
Wow.
She had pictures and newspaper clippings of Missy all over her bedroom wall. Very crazy. And there's actually a lot of little stories here and there that have been told, like things leading up to this situation. I didn't want to tell anything false. I don't know what all was true, so I just kind of left them out. There's lots of just crazy things that Karen did. There are other versions to what I told y'all today, but I think I gave y'all the truest version.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, going into the conviction, so Eva had gone to the police and just unloaded. Well, even though she was there for the murder, she did not get convicted. I guess because maybe she told the story, she confessed, and she said she stayed in the car. So she didn't get convicted. But Karen Severson and Laura Doyle, I think they were tried together. They were charged with first-degree murder. And at trial, the prosecutor recounted that both girls lured Missy to the stream, yelled at her for having sex with these boys, and killed her. And in March of 1990, Karen and Laura were convicted of second-degree murder.
Wow.
And sentenced to 15 years to life in prison. The jurors said that they weren't convinced that the girls planned out the murder.
Why? Like, they had a history of violence towards her.
Yeah, and Eva even said that they were going, you know, they planned to take her out there too. And Karen even says, I was only going to torment her. Okay, well torment or murder, that's...
And Missy
it can go a little too far.
Told her mother she was going with Laura. So how does Karen factor in but for to commit this crime?
Right. Right.
I mean...
It was...
There's no other reason to hide the fact that Karen was going to be there other than this was an ambush.
Yeah, a ruse.
Yes,
yeah.
A ruse.
So yeah, the jurors were not convinced that the girls planned out the murder, and so they eliminated the first degree charge. And
pish-posh.
Yeah, so they got second degree. Karen said that she only meant to torment Missy, like I just said, and that things just got out of hand.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Out of hand, you moved a 100-pound log to pin her down into the water. That is pretty out of hand. I will give you that.
Insane. So Karen was actually released on December 9th of 2011.
Stop that.
2011. Yeah. She's been out for 12 years. And she served a total of 23 years in prison, and Laura was released December 2012.
Oh.
She served 22 years. Karen wrote a memoir about the crime. Yeah. And she talked about her prison life after she was released, and
nobody cares.
Yeah. And she even made a deal to make a film.
Oh, Lord.
Well, Missy's family, you know who that reminds me of? Casey Anthony.
Yes. She's nasty too.
Yeah. So Missy's family sued her in 2015, good, and the state of California passed Missy's Law, which makes it illegal for convicted criminals to profit from telling their stories, but only in California.
How is that not a law? Like, how is that
everywhere?
That's so gross. Beats,
yeah, beats me. I don't know. It shouldn't happen.
No.
So, Missy's family won the lawsuit and prevented Karen from profiting from the book in California. And her lawyers made it so that Karen could publish the book, but it was $0 and 0 cents. So, it would be free, like on Amazon or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe it should go to the victim's family. How about that?
Well, yeah, that would be in a perfect world, but this world is...
Right. Garbage.
I don't know if her family would even want money from that kind of...
I think it's so wrong that that Karen had a voice ever. Like, for $0, I would not read that book.
Oh, no. No. And I'm not even going to tell you the title of it. I didn't write it down because I didn't care.
Don't go find it. Please. Please.
Yeah, she even went on the Dr. Phil show.
Oh,
like,
Dr.
he
Phil.
Gave her a voice.
Come on.
Yeah. Twice. She was invited back a second time.
Mm-hmm. Phil. I'm not even going to say doctor. He doesn't deserve it.
Supposedly, she moved to another state since she couldn't profit in California.
She moved
to a different state and to publish a book and profit from it somewhere else. I don't know if that's true, but she did write a second book. I'm assuming that's the one that's not in California. But anyways, she says she's only trying to spread awareness on bullying and to encourage others not to bully.
Okay.
So that they can see where that lifestyle can lead.
Okay.
In her book, Karen said that she helped the family after Missy died, but that she really did have ulterior motives for helping. She stated, I wanted to know how the police investigation was going. I wanted to know who the suspects were and what evidence they found. So she admits that. She did admit that she was jealous of Missy, and she never really did admit it until after she did what she did. A little too late.
Mm-hmm.
In a TV interview, she is still... this is when she's already out of prison. She does this TV interview, and she's still very smug and seems defensive. She said that Missy knew what she did, and she never apologized for it.
Oh my gosh. Are you still on this?
When I heard that, my mouth fell open.
She's still.
Yeah. Now, I think that was in... That was like 10 years ago.
Jeez. Everybody needs to hide. Everybody who's wronged her needs to hide, because she clearly cannot let things go, and she's violent.
She claims she's a changed person. I hope she is, but judging from this interview, I mean, she just really seemed to still have this victim mentality.
Ew.
And she has even gone to different schools to talk to kids about not making the same mistakes.
What? This has such an ick factor.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Acting like she's the victim. Mm-hmm. Touring schools, writing a book. No, honey. No.
Mm-mm.
Gross.
Yeah. And somebody even asked her, like, what are you going to do with the money that you make? And she's like, the interviewer said, are you going to give all the money to Missy's family? She said, I didn't say all the money. I need to make a living.
Oh, my gosh. Gross. Go get a job at McDonald's. And
he said, well, there's other ways to make money. And she goes, what, like sell myself? See, like, it's just so defensive.
Oh, my Lord.
It's gross.
I wonder what those kids thought. So you've killed somebody? Like, you murdered someone, and you're here to talk about don't be violent like me? What impact does that make other than just, like, scaring them?
Right.
If anything.
I don't know.
If anything, it shows you how to, like, pick your friends.
Exactly. And that's my point at the end here.
Well, I'm reading
I'll
your
give
notes.
You my Yeah, exactly. Get out of my head. That's what you tell me.
I won't.
So Laura, she eventually told the truth about what happened during the parole hearing. She said, "Yeah, we planned it and we did it." She said if she could do it all over again, she would switch places with Missy so that she could endure the pain. So she does show remorse. She's been that lady, Siobhan, that I told you all about earlier. Siobhan said that Laura was very helpful in whenever they were doing a documentary. And Laura was willing to talk and answered every phone call and question to the best of her ability. So the family seems to accept Laura's remorse. But yeah, there's a TV movie that was made based on Missy's murder, and that's called A Killer Among Friends. You may have already seen it.
Is it a Lifetime movie?
Something like that.
Yeah, I've probably seen it.
But friends and family say that that movie has a lot of discrepancies.
Oh, I'm sure.
So don't take it as fact. So, but yeah, my take on it. The moral of the story is if you have mean friends, they're really not your friend, and you don't have to continue that relationship.
Yeah.
Just walk away and only allow people in your circle who are going to help you grow for the better. I know it's hard to tell a teenager that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were teenagers at the time, but here's your reminder that you don't have to put up with that, and you deserve friends who show you love.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when your family sees something in somebody that they don't like, it's not because they just want to control who you're with and what you do. It's because they're removed.
Yeah.
And they see something. Like, they see how that relationship affects you in a toxic way.
I've had
many friendships like this. And my mom
was
I don't like that person. I just don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out...
I've been in that situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they just were not good for me. They weren't good at all. Yeah, it's so hard to tell an adolescent that. Because...
Right.
You know, we think we know everything during that time in our life, but this is a sad story because it's just the same story you feel like you have experienced, like you've experienced, but not like it didn't get to murder, but
right,
you feel like you've had these toxic relationships and you've had girls bullying you or experienced other people being bullied, and
And where it could have gone further.
Yeah. And with social media, oh my Lord, I just...
Oh, man.
I'm so thankful that I didn't have social media at that age. I'm so thankful.
Oh, my goodness. I know. But you know what also the case that this reminds me of is the Betsy Faria and Pam yes. Hupp case where she, you know, was acting, yeah. Pam was acting as her best involved. Friend, like a caring yeah. friend. Yeah, y'all, if you haven't listened to that one, that's at the beginning yes, stages of our podcast. So anyway, yeah. You don't have to be friends with mean people. Just don't do it.
It's true. Invest in people who invest in you.
Absolutely. I mean, now there are people that could use a little positivity and light, but you don't have to be their friend. Right. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that, Lena. Anyway, that was great.
You're welcome.
Let's do it again sometime.
All right, let's do it.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.